You can subscribe to The Spectator for 12 weeks for only £12 for our print and online editions, plus get 6 months of digital access free to The Telegraph. Go to spectator.co.uk/telegraph.
Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, The Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Isabel Hardman and this is the Sunday Roundup. The Manchester United footballer Marcus Rashford's campaign to extend the provision of free school meals over the school holidays has seen the government facing considerable pressure to change course. Sophie Ridge asked the Northern Ireland Secretary Brandon Lewis why the government was holding out against the campaign.
I have to say, it feels like you've drawn the short straw this morning. You're the minister who has been wheeled out to defend the government's policy and explain why it is that you don't want to fund meals for poor children over the holidays. Have you done something wrong in a past life?
Well, I always see it as a positive if I get to spend the first part of my Sunday chatting with you, Sophie, as I did a few weeks ago. I think, actually, our policy on this is... I know this is a very emotive issue. It's a sensitive issue, and it's something that affects families in my constituency as well as around the country. I think the position we have taken is the right position, because what we're looking to do is ensure we deal with child poverty at the core and put the structure in place that means even in school holidays, children can get access to the food that they need.
Enjoyed the flattery in the answer, but sadly it's not going to make me move off the topic that quickly. I'm genuinely trying to work out why the government is opposing this. Is it because it's too expensive, or is it because you don't agree with the principle of it?
Well, actually, Sophie, I would say the premise of your question is not entirely right. Obviously, by definition, schools are not open in the holidays. So we're in a different place to where we were earlier in the summer, where we had the full lockdown and schools were closed. 99% are now open and they're going into that period of school holiday. Schools are closed. So it's what do we have in place when schools are closed? We've already put that facility in place. We've increased universal credit, so people have got more support, over £1,000 on average across the country for the year. But we've also put in place around £63 million to support local authorities to help people in their communities at a time of hardship. Very specifically, to allow local authorities, they know their areas best, they're closest to the residents that they serve, and they can put in place the schemes that they feel can make sure that people who need that extra support, very targeted and very, can get that support. We're seeing councils around the country doing that for this week very directly.
Ridge also inquired about newspaper reports that the government is considering reducing the 14-day self-isolation period.
I just want to ask you about some reports that are in the newspapers today. Reports that the government is looking at cutting the 14-day isolation period if someone in your household has got COVID or if you're travelling from abroad to 10 days, potentially even 7 days. Is that true?
Well, we're looking at the moment, the teams are looking at what we can do around those isolation periods. This will be scientifically led. As I say, we're learning more about the virus every single day. It's still a relatively new virus in terms of disease. And as we learn and the scientists are able to gauge this, we can look at whether we're able to reassess that. We're not ready to make a final decision or announcement on that yet, but we want to make sure we're moving with the science and indeed, again, allowing people to live and work within this virus as best as we can, whilst always making sure we protect people's health and the NHS.
Is it not just about the science, though? Is it also about the fact that you're worried people are just not following the rules?
No, this is going to be scientifically led. We've always said we want to make sure we get the balance right. We want to protect lives, protect our NHS, ensure that it can continue to deal with the issues that it has
as well,
as it will
it?
Have through the winter. But also making sure that our economy can continue to develop and grow and that people can, as far as we possibly can within the constraints of the safety we have to follow with this virus, live as close to a normal life as we can as we get forward to a point where we can go back to living a normal life.
Bernard Jenkin, the chair of the Commons Liaison Committee, told Ridge why he felt that Dido Harding, the head of NHS Test and Trace, should be removed and made a suggestion as to her replacement.
Why do you think it's time for her to move on?
She's achieved a huge amount and there's a great deal of very good work going on in Test and Trace, and that shouldn't be undervalued. And I do mean this as kindly as possible to her. She's been a tremendous asset. But the Test and Trace capability clearly needs to move up several gears. And it's what leadership does, not who leadership is, that really matters. That's why I recommend that, in fact, leadership of Test and Trace should be handed over to a very senior military person who is used to dealing in a crisis situation, under stress, at scale, with very high degrees of complexity and organisation. That's what a senior military commander is trained to do, and their ability in that is unique. Now, there are lots of military people involved in test and trace, but they're not involved in the overall leadership of it, and that's the most fundamental recommendation I'm making.
However, Lewis defended Harding's record.
Look, what Dido has done is put together and drive forward a team that has come on so much in the last few months. We have got a scheme that's gone from having no test and trace, obviously before the virus, to building up a scheme now that means we've tested over 28 million people. That's more than anywhere else in Europe. 1.1 million people now who have been contacted through the scheme. We want to see it improve, want to see it grow and get better and better. That's how we fight this virus. But actually, I think Dido and the team have done a very good job to get to where we are.
Dr. Rosina Allen-Khan, Labour's Shadow Minister for Mental Health, effusively praised Marcus Rashford's efforts on free school meals.
So you're going to be pushing for another vote on this. What's the plan?
Absolutely. The Labour Party are not going to give up on our young people, on the children who are going to bed hungry. And the fact that 322 MPs made the morally reprehensible decision to vote against free school meals this week is deeply saddening. But I will say that what has played out over the ensuing days is the very best of what it means to be British. Our communities have stood up to this government and said, we don't care what you have done. We are angry and we are going to take matters into our own hands. And so we have seen, you know, local restaurants, communities, councils stepping up, even though so many themselves have been hit so hard by this COVID crisis, and providing support for children and young people. And it makes me so proud to be British. And I know that Marcus Rashford and his campaign absolutely represents the best of our country.
When do you think that vote might happen then, do you know?
Well, we are honestly hoping that the Conservative government dig deep and look introspectively and perform a U-turn on this. But we certainly will be pushing for a vote before Christmas.
Ridge asked Allen-Khan for more information on Labour's policy of adopting a circuit breaker or a time-limited national lockdown before a return to the current tiered system of restrictions.
Now, I'm keen to talk to you about Labour's own plan. You want to see the circuit breaker, a sort of short, sharp lockdown to try and drive down cases. So what I want to know about is the exit strategy. Would that be time limited or would you be driven by the data?
So we are calling for a short 2 to 3 week circuit breaker because we believe that ultimately, based on sage advice, it would save lives and be most effective
to our
economy.
I understand why you're calling for it. What I'm trying to work out is, what is the exit strategy? Would it last for a certain amount of time, no matter what happens, or would you be driven by the data?
No, it would last for a certain amount of time, no matter what happens, and then we would go back into the tiered system.
OK, I just want to have a look at what Keir Starmer said at Prime Minister's Questions this week. He said this to the Prime Minister. He said, is the Prime Minister seriously saying he would take a Tier 3 area out of Tier 3 with the R8s above 1? I don't think so. Now, are you seriously saying that you would end a circuit breaker lockdown if the R remains above 1? Because I don't think you'd do that either.
We're very clear that the circuit breaker would be for a prescribed period of time. It would not be for a protracted period of time. Fundamentally, this circuit breaker is needed in order to get on top of the shambolic test, trace and isolate system. If we are able to get on top of that, it will protect our economy.
And look, but if you're not, said, and if the R8 remains above 1, you're saying that you would just lift the restrictions, even though Keir Starmer doesn't believe Boris Johnson when he says the same thing.
We're very clear that the circuit breaker would be for a 2 to 3 week period only. And even the IMF has said that if the government don't take that advice and don't act and do that now, I mean, look, we wanted it now over the half-term period when it would cause the least disruption to people, but it could cost our economy £110 billion. The government have been asleep at the wheel. They have to act.
Andrew Marr spoke to the Welsh Health Minister, Vaughan Gething, with Wales now under a 17-day firebreaker lockdown of its own. One aspect that has been causing considerable anger is the guidance that supermarkets should only sell items that are classified as essential for the duration.
This policy is proving hugely unpopular across Wales. By tomorrow morning, you're going to have to tear it up and start again, aren't you?
No, we're reviewing with supermarkets the understanding and the clarity in the policy because there's been different application in different parts. What we all need to take a step back on and is to remember why the firebreak has been introduced and to recognise it is hard for lots of people, but we're in a week where we've already seen 61 deaths take place here in Wales. Just about a month ago, there were only 6 deaths in a week. So coronavirus is taking off.
Welsh people going into supermarkets around Wales at the moment, they see things like baby clothes, they see kettles, they see light bulbs, they see books taped off, forbidden to be bought. And that just seems completely absurd to them.
We've worked with supermarkets, we've had conversations with them about what these items are. We'll talk to them again on Monday so everyone understands the position we're in to have some clarity. And it's also about reducing the opportunity for contacts. And that's what we're really trying to do. We're asking people to stay at home to save lives. That really is right back where we are.
So you say
the fewer opportunities we have to circulate, to go to the shop and to mix, and a whole range of other activities we've had to close down.
That's what
we're trying to do.
And finally, Dr. Anthony Fauci, the long-standing advisor to the White House on infectious diseases, told Marr that President Trump had taken his comments about the coronavirus out of context in the latest presidential debate.
President Trump has put you absolutely at the forefront of his campaign. He's accused you of flip-flopping over masks, and he's also quoted your own words in the recent debate. He says that you said of the virus, "This is no problem. This is going to go away soon." Did you say that?
No, I did not.
This is really important. He said that you said those words, and you say, "No, I didn't." So is he lying then?
No, I don't think it's lying. I think it's a misinterpretation. Let me explain to you what it was. Is I was asked on January the 20th on an interview in CNN whether or not we should be doing anything different in the country. I said we do not need to do anything different. And then what got reported was they forgot to include the second half of the sentence. And the second half of the sentence was, the first half was, we don't need to do anything different right now, comma, however, this could change quickly and we must be prepared because things can get worse. That was on January 20th. That was before the first case was reported in the United States. Once we saw person-to-person transmission, I was very vocal about the fact that this could really be a problem that we better do something about.
He's also referred to you as an idiot and a disaster. How did that make you feel?
You know, I got asked that question a lot. I focus on what I feel is a most important mission, is to preserve the health, the safety, and the welfare of the American people directly and indirectly for the entire world, including the UK, by some of the things we do here. I think those other things are just distractions. If I concentrated on them or let them bother me, if I got entangled in that other stuff, you know, I don't take that personally. I just do my job.
That's all for this week. I'm Isabel Hardman, and this podcast was produced by Matthew Taylor. Don't forget to subscribe to the Coffee House Shots podcast on the iTunes store. And if you enjoyed this podcast, do subscribe to our daily evening blend email. It's a free roundup of all the political news each day, along with analysis and a diary on what to expect next. Just go to spectator.co.uk/eveningblend. Thanks for listening, and do join us again next week.
You can subscribe to The Spectator for 12 weeks for only £12 for our print and online editions. Plus, get 6 months of digital access free to The Telegraph. Go to spectator.co.uk/telegraph.